You are listening to Dishin' and Swishin', the world of women's hoops, on hoopfeed.com.
Hi, everybody. This is David Siegel welcoming you to this week's Dishin' and Swishin' podcast on hoopfeed.com. And we're talking a little West Coast NCAA women's basketball this week. Arizona State may have hit a little bump in the road this past weekend, but they have been playing some great ball, ranked number 15 in one poll and 21 in another, and heading into a huge weekend with games against Stanford and Cal. And I'm pleased to welcome the coach of the Sun Devils, Charlie Turner-Thorne, right now. Coach, how are you today?
I'm great. Thanks, Dave.
So, Coach, let's first get over the discussion on this past weekend's game. You know, while Arizona has struggled in the Pac-12, there is no question that you got to kind of throw a lot of that out the window when you start dealing with those interstate rivalries.
Yeah, you do. And, you know, it's just, you know, hats off to them. They played really well. And, you know, we definitely, you know, just had a big let up. We just did, you know, and I think it was, you know, we've had a little bit of a pattern where we, you know, we get on a run and we have a very young team. And, you know, not, and that's not an excuse, but, you know, we are younger. We're not a team that's like a Stanford and a Cal that, you know, you've got players that have played in Final Fours and, you know, have actually, you know, they're used to being in the position that we're in. You know, this is new for the players on our team right now, you know, to be on the national ranked program and, you know, have the, you know, the attention and kind of recognition that we're having. And I think I feel like we just kind of went out and put some of the players, the older players, put too much pressure on themselves. And you know, it's just, I think you see it around the country, you know, just rival games and you know, all of a sudden teams that have struggled a lot kind of put it together and have a great game and pull the upset. So, you know, I'm still, you know, I love this team that I'm coaching. They've been tough all year long and, you know, we're going to go next play on that one. Move on. And, you know, I do have to say, I wish maybe that our next matchup wasn't Stanford after their first conference loss at home. But, you know, it's all good.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say next is, you know, it certainly was a tough weekend for the ranked team, for the ranked Pac-12 team. And having played for Tara, I think the last thing that you really want to face as a coach is Tara after they lost.
Pretty much. Yep. There's that's well said. Yep. So, but you know, we're pretty fired up too. And you know, we just got to get back to playing good team basketball.
You know, one thing just to touch on, just in case people aren't aware of, you know, the Pac-12 has one of the stranger systems in the matching up of teams who travel together. And, you know, what ends up happening is, you know, you played Oregon State and Oregon both came into Tempe together. Then you played the back-to-back against Arizona, and now you get Stanford and Cal, followed by, you know, Colorado and Utah, who have played together, who are traveling together also. So that's something that's a little bit different and something that people have to get used to.
Well, yeah, you know, it's funny. It's all I know. I played in the Pac-10 and, you know, I've coached in this conference for 17 years. But obviously with football and all the conference realignment, I think, you know, some conferences used to be a little bit more like the Pac-10, Pac-12, where, you know, you'd have your travel partners and you try to, you know, and you know, football's pretty much eliminated that, you know, and now conferences are spread all over the country and you have to charter and, you know, you're doing a trip going home and then doing another trip. You know, I do think it makes a lot of sense, you know, to go and be able to play two games and then come home and not having to have two flights a week. And, you know, we're very blessed out here in the West Coast. We have good weather in the winter. So, and we're usually flying in to pretty major cities and major airports. So we're not having to fly in the middle of winter, you know, to some really small airport. So it's, you know, it actually works pretty well, you know, and the crosstown rivalries of our conference are, you know, awesome. You know, they bring a lot, I think, to the experience of the students and the student athletes. And so, obviously I don't know much else, but I do, even in, when I coached in the West Coast Conference, though, we had our partners, you know, a couple teams in the Northwest and you had a couple teams in the Bay Area and a couple teams in Southern California. So, I don't know, maybe it's a West Coast thing.
Well, the weather is certainly a West Coast thing, as he says, as he gets ready for another 8 to 10 inches of snow tomorrow morning.
Gosh. But I wish I could send you some. We're about 75 right now and just loving life.
Wow. Gee, thanks, Coach.
Yeah, sorry. I'm sorry, Dave. Okay. I know.
All right, well,
come see us.
You
know,
and
come
here
see
I,
us.
And here I was going to be nice to you, too.
Yeah. What do you mean? You opened with the U of A game. No, I'm just kidding.
But I got it over with, so now we could get on to the
good
stuff.
That's awesome.
And that good stuff covers the 20-4 overall record, a win over North Carolina in the tournament, and wins over Miami, wins over Syracuse, and, of course, a win at Cal already, against Cal already. So it has been a great season, and it's got to be some kind of vindicating for you, too. You know, you had taken the year off, and you came back, and last year's team struggled some. But this is the type of ASU team that we're used to seeing, you know, that you are, you know, the second winningest coach in Pac-12 history.
Well, thanks, Dave. I mean, it's fun. You know, obviously, you know, it was a transition year last year, and, you know, we probably lost two recruiting classes in that window where, you know, you step away and you know, kids decommitted, and then we, you know, obviously it's hard to sign when the head coach isn't there. So, you know, we've been able to kind of reload pretty quickly. And this group has just been, like I said, a lot of fun to coach, you know, and just pull together. And, you know, we really, you know, we haven't fully reloaded. I mean, you know, we're working hard to, you know, get that talent level where we can, you know, stay at a top 10 level. And so we're really doing it with balance and by committee and these kids just, you know, caring about each other. I mean, our stats are quite odd, really, you know, that we don't have, you know, 2, 3, 4 people in double figures. I mean, it's just, our balance is just, I mean, as much as I like to use a deeper rotation and we do, you know, develop our bench, I don't think we've ever had a team this good with, you know, that hasn't had 2 or 3 players that we've relied on consistently, you know, to score. So it's been, you know, it's been fun, you know, because on any given day, like even the Cal win, we had a player that I guarantee was not on their scouting report at all, a freshman who had barely played and she ended up being the leading scorer in the game. So, you know, that's kind of who we are this year, and it's worked well for us.
Well, you've had 9 different players that have made their way into the starting lineup at some point. And, you know, those 9 also average at least 15.9 minutes per game. So, you know, you did introduce to the mainstream viewers the shift on the fly hockey line type substitutions. So, you know, while you may not be doing the same thing, you're still getting everybody involved. And as you said, you know, that's good from a team aspect that they all need to know that it's going to be their turn at some point to step up and do it, and they've got to be ready.
Right, yeah. You know, I mean, we didn't really set out to have this kind of team. You know, we wanted to find our 8, like most teams have, Dave, to be honest with you. And we have had one other year where we've had a team that's been this balanced. It was 2007, and we actually went to it was our first Elite 8 appearance. And it was just, you know, we had super talented young kids and then some really you know, tough, skilled veterans, and, you know, it was a 10-player rotation, and sometimes it was 5 and 5, and, you know, we had kids that played so hard that, you know, they really couldn't handle, you know, 30 minutes and 28 minutes. They were better at 23, 24, 25 minutes a game, and, you know, we just kind of went with that, and you know, it's not our philosophy to do that, but, you know, we're just, as coaches, figure out, you know, the best plan for the team that we have. And certainly this year, again, as we continue to recruit and you know, reload our talent here at Arizona State, it's worked out fantastic for us.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at Arizona State, you know, the football teams, of course, have been great over the years, and the men's basketball team hasn't been as good. But, you know, women's basketball, you know, is really the number two, you know, right alongside football. You two are the two big winners in the school. And, you know, sometimes I think in the huge shadow of Stanford, it gets a little bit displaced. And, you know, people don't realize how successful a program you actually have there.
Well, I appreciate that, Dave. I mean, we've worked hard, you know, been here a little while. So, you know, we are proud of, the tradition that we built, and, you know, just had some great players. I mean, Breon January, who's, you know, the starting point guard for Indiana Fever, and in the Olympic pool now to hopefully be on, you know, an upcoming Olympic team, and you know, just a lot of great players who, you know, have helped build this tradition. But yeah, it's hard to get out of Stanford's shadow, you know. And I played for Tara. I was way back when, and you know, she's done an amazing job, and so I appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, a lot of times with the media, you know, that's why I appreciate you, and you know, people like you that are out here, you know, talking college women's basketball across the country, because the national media still at times, I think, just focuses on a few programs and doesn't give credit to the parity, you know, and how many great programs there are across the country and what they've accomplished. And, you know, it's just, okay, these couple teams have been to the Final Four a lot of times, so they're the only ones that are good, you know, and so we're continuing to work to dispel that, you know, that perception, and, you know, just for people that aren't women's basketball fans, you know, it's like they kind of still think, and some of them don't even know Stanford, you know, it's like, oh yeah, Tennessee and UConn, it's like, yeah, Stanford went to 5 straight Final Fours, they're pretty good, and Tennessee wasn't in most of those Final Fours, so just appreciate you, you know, and just the coverage, because I think, you know, we're still kind of fighting that a little bit with, you know, the general media, if you will, sports
well,
media.
I appreciate that, but you know, you bring up an interesting point there, and it kind of bothered me when I started this by announcing, you know, your positions in the polls. And, you know, you mentioned how some of the media doesn't see other teams or doesn't pay attention. And, you know, then you get the coaches poll, and it just struck me as very strange that a team could be 15-1 and all the way at 21 in the other. You know, you would think that there would be a little bit more continuity there. And to me, it just kind of shows exactly what you're saying, that, you know, perhaps there isn't enough attention being paid to the other programs that aren't Stanford, UConn, Duke, Tennessee, Notre Dame. You know, what do we do to break that? How do we get people to realize that there's great ball being played in other places?
Well, I mean, I think it's getting better. I mean, I think, you know, that I know for us, the Pac-12 network has been huge. Just absolutely incredible, because now everybody across the country is getting to watch, you know, our teams a lot. You know, we're partnered with ESPN. We have some games on ESPN. ESPN now, just as a partner, wants to cover us, you know, and which is, you know, we used to be a Fox conference, so we were never on ESPN, right, Dave? So, you know, those things have helped, I know, in the West and for our conference, just to, you know, get people to get more exposure. But, you know, I feel like, I mean, the media within college women's basketball, I mean, the ones that are voting on polls and stuff, I mean, I think that they, you know, they have their biases, you know, and sometimes there's, you know, agendas and stuff like that. But I think that they are really trying to do a good job. I guess I was alluding a little bit more to, you know, SportsCenter or national media where, you know, oh, yeah, we kind of have to cover a little bit of this. Yeah, you know, okay, is Connecticut going to win it this year? So, you know, just kind of broadening, you know, continuing to get more coverage, I guess, from some of the major sports outlets or shows and things like that. And, you know, I think we just have to keep working hard to provide a great product, Dave, you know, to play great basketball and people want to watch it and want to cover it. You know, obviously with the media, a lot of it is more so about individual players. You know, if you have a player like a Deladon, you know, or Brittany Griner, then they pay more attention. You know, okay, you got a 6'8 woman who can dunk at will. Okay. You know, that for better or worse, I mean, we got a lot more attention through sports media that probably wouldn't otherwise have given as much attention to women's basketball. But I don't have the answer to that question. Without Brittany Griner playing, how do we continue to garner, you know, people's interest? You know, my best answer is just keep playing better basketball.
It's certainly tough because, you know, they'll tell you that, of course, UConn draws ratings, But at the same time, you know, then you get into the discussion of does UConn beating somebody by 20 get a better rating than two really good teams? You know, say, for example, let's use your conference. If when you play Cal, you know, is that a
right.
game that should be an exciting game? You know, is that one that would generate better ratings? I mean, who knows? And maybe, you know, hopefully the Pac-12 network will help answer that question itself. Although I will use that as my each time we discuss Pac-12 network, I have to bring up the fact that they're still not on DirecTV and I can't get it. But but I have to throw that out there, and I don't expect anybody that's involved with them to comment. So let's move on. Talk about your team a little bit.
Great.
Let's talk about this team. You mentioned the fact how young it is. It is certainly an interesting mix. You know, you've got freshmen and seniors out there, you know, and sophomores, and everybody involved has a different level of experience on the team, and it really is blending well.
Exactly. I mean, that's exactly what we have, David. We've got just a great mix of, you know, some really tough, impactful freshmen, you know, talented sophomore class that's stepping up in different ways on different games. And then we have, you know, our three seniors who, you know, have been through a lot in their careers. They've all, you know, been through a number of injuries and, you know, just really, you know, probably all three of them haven't quite had the careers that they wanted to have, you know, and so then they're coming into this year and just, you know, doing a great job for us, you know, and healthy and, you know, able to kind of help us get back to really where we were when they signed with us, you know, which was a nationally ranked program. And we've got the one junior, Promise, Maluka Mera. And, you know, yeah, so it's, you know, two-thirds of your team are underclassmen, so you feel good about that. And yet, you know, our upperclassmen are, you know, bring a lot to the table and have, you know, done a lot to get us to 20-4.
You know, in particular, when you look, you know, Deja Mann pretty much summarizes the program, I think. You know, she missed the season with a knee injury. She had been in conference, honorable mention, all conference before that. But she's come back and she's, you know, still given everything she's got and has become the leading scorer on the team now.
Yeah, when she tore her ACL last September, I mean, she was going to come in as our only returning starter last year and leading us in pretty much every statistical category because she was the only player that had any experience. So I'm so happy for her honestly, you know, I mean, you never want to go through a major injury, don't get me wrong, but it was in some ways a blessing that she didn't play last year, you know, with no help, you know, on a team that really, you know, major transition year. And that she gets to come back and, you know, play with these exceptional freshmen and, you know, everybody else a year older and kind of, you know, thrown into the fire the year before with a lot of experience now and just, you know, much more prepared to win in this conference. So, and she, you know, she definitely is, you know, one of our leaders. And, you know, we moved her from the point guard to the two this year to take advantage of her scoring, but, you know, we definitely, when the game's on the line, you know, rely on her basketball IQ and, you know, her to kind of run the team. So, and she's done a great job with that. And we've, you know, she's the one person on my team that I feel like I'm kind of, you know, everybody else I feel like can play more minutes. And then for her, you know, I've still got her at about 30 minutes a game. And I need to, you know, try to, I don't know. She's, we're asking her to do an awful lot, but she's coming through for us. So, and I'm really just so happy for her, Dave, because she's a great kid, and she's been through three ACLs. She had an ACL her junior year in high school, then had it back-to-back a redo her senior year, came in. So it really wasn't until the end of her sophomore year that she, after back-to-back ACLs, kind of was becoming herself again, you know. And so she kind of broke into the starting line at the end of her sophomore year, you know, started her old junior year when I was away, yeah, so we're all just really happy for her, you know, because she's been through so much and she loves the game. I mean, she absolutely loves the game. It's her passion, and so it's fun to see her doing so well.
Now, this is the way it's supposed to be, right? You got the two seniors that are chucking up the shots and leading the team in scoring, and you got the two freshmen that are doing the grunt work and getting all the rebounds.
Yeah, I think is working for them. And that's well said, because they are. They're just battling and busting their behinds every possession and cleaning up the glass while Deja and Age and our transfer, sophomore Katie Hempen, is she's launching up too. So, yeah.
Yeah, she likes those three-pointers, huh?
Yeah. That's part of our just our last week and a half or so, 2 weeks, we've just been, always through one point in the season, you just have a little bit of a slump, and we, a lot of times it can be January, late January, early January from teams that I've had. But for us, I feel like it's kind of been like this last couple weeks where we've just, haven't been quite ourselves. Culminating to the implosion,
well,
the debacle on Sunday. But
you look at those victories. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I said you look at the victories before that, and Utah was by 3, Colorado by 2, Oregon State by 2, Oregon by 3, and before you handled Arizona the first go around. I mean, the signs were, as you were saying, were certainly there. The team, was winning close games, which is always a great thing as you head towards the postseason. But
right,
it was a sign.
Yeah, it was. And some of those games we played better than others. Some of them, we got leads and gave them away, and some we just needed to be playing better. So I think Sunday's game is a great wake up call for our team and the things that we really need to focus on down the stretch to finish strong and play our best basketball. Which is good, because when you keep winning, this team, I love this team. They come back and they're, they know they need to get better at things, but let's face it, you don't really take it to heart. I mean, really take it to heart, Dave, until you don't get what you want. So now I think we really have their attention to be like, okay, we got to rebound better. There's some things we just have to do better, if we're going to finish the way we want to finish and do the things we want to do this season. So they've responded well. And again, this is the hardest road trip by far in our conference. You've got two elite teams on their home floor. Again, two teams with players that have played in the Final Four and great coaches. So, great challenge for us.
If you give Chinay a Valentine, will she be nicer?
I'm going to give her a graduation gift, I'll tell you that much.
A year with no Agumake's, that will be nice for you.
It will be kind of nice, yes. I actually still own Neca one, because I joked when I was like, I'm going to buy her a graduation gift. And man, her sister, I did not think that her sister would keep those two young ladies. They remind me a lot of Breon January, because they just got better every year. They just added to their game every single year. And, when you thought they were good, then they got even better, and they got even better, and they got even better. And that's been Shanae. And so, I don't know. I think they're going to be fired up no matter what we give them. I think
Too much chocolate, maybe? Load them up?
Yeah. I can try. I think... if they're going to be about as locked in, they're always, all great teams get up for, we're that next team in the conference. And like when they came here and played, we did not play well. And, they brought their A-plus game because, they know how to do that. They're the team that's used to being in this situation, and they know how to step up when, sometimes they may muddle through a game and, not play their best and be able to win, much more so than us. But, when it's time, when they're playing a top team, they know how to bring it. And, that's what we got to be prepared for on Friday, obviously. Because that's, I think, what we actually, too, Dave, just to go ahead and, mention this, I think one thing that we have been getting as we've continued to win and win and win and win is everybody's best effort. It's like, we'll come in and we might, barely be the team, but, they're banking in shots and they're doing things that, they're playing harder and better against us. And then, maybe the next team comes in and I'm watching the game on tape and it's like, well, gosh, you're not even playing. It's like a totally different game. So it's been great for our young team to just experience that. It's like, listen, you're going to get everybody's best effort. That's all it means when you have a number by your name. That's all it means. It doesn't mean anything until the end of the season, except that you're going to get everybody's best effort. So I feel like we've handled it well, you know, up until Sunday, you know, but that'll give us a chance to refocus and get better.
Absolutely. And that's what it's all about. And that's what your teams have shown over the years. I mean, there's a reason that your teams have gone to Elite Eights and gone to the Sweet 16, because they learn to adjust and they learn and adjust. And that's what the great coaches do. And coach, I mean, you fit that bill, and I'm interested in seeing how the team handles Stanford, for one thing, because on Maples is always a ridiculous task to begin with.
Yeah,
I'm interested in seeing how the Cal game goes, though, when, you know, a team that you have beaten and does have their shares of inconsistencies and growing going on, too.
Right. Well, exactly. I mean, that game looms very large on our schedule and will be on the Pac-12 network. So it will be, you know, a great test of wills and a great matchup, and obviously, you know, some serious jockeying for seeding and, you know, finishing high in that conference. So, you know, I this is one of those road trips where you wish, man, I wish we played Cal first. you know, let Stanford have U of A after their loss, and, you know, let us have that game and then roll in to Maples. But it's all good. You know, that's our motto. And again, I mean, I think, you know, we're trying to prepare to be one of the top teams in the country, and this game is going to challenge us like no other. So it'll be good.
And then pretty soon you'll be headed up to Washington for the tournament, and you get to face them again.
Yeah, well, that's the goal. You know, I mean, to have more than this shot at Maples, you know, against them. So we're gonna work really hard to get that, Dave.
Well, I'm sure it's going to be a great rest of the season. And, Coach, congratulations on what has been a phenomenal season thus far. You know, it's great to see Arizona State back ranked as high as that they have reached. And, you know, as we mentioned, with the team being the age that it is, it's just going to continue to grow and get better.
That's the plan. Thank you, Dave. We appreciate it.
You take care, and thanks for taking time for us, Coach.
You bet. All right. We'll talk to you down the road.